We're going to do Perek Chav Ches. I'm going to be a little bit shorter than usual because I have to go out of town this morning. But these prakim, by the way, and this chelik for the Netzach Yisrael are shorter. Not that they couldn't take us all the time in the world to try to understand, but nevertheless, they're shorter prakim. So let's remind ourselves where we were and move on to a very fascinating, somewhat relatively known Agadata in Sanhedrin, here about the Geula stage. As we saw last couple of times, that this, now we've switched into the mode where he's speaking more about the Midrashim and the Chazal and about Geula rather than the ones about Golus. And last, in the end of Perek Chof Zayin, he was speaking about the idea of the world having these three stages of time: the beginning, the time of Tohu, the time of conception, the time of Torah, which is the middle, and the time of Mashiach, which is the end. And if you remember, he ended the Perek by saying that, you know, people will wonder why Mashiach takes so long. We speak about two alafim yamais ha-Mashiach. So he said, the truth is, Mashiach is the end game. Mashiach is the climax. And therefore, really, we would only expect it to come at the end. If we manage to bring it earlier within the phase called the general ending phase, the last 2,000 years, great. You know, that's revach, that's profit. But fundamentally, Mashiach is the seif, is the end. Everything within this world, within these phases, has this beginning, middle, and end. Mashiach is the end, it's to be expected at the end. And as he begins this perek, he says, but I'm still troubled, because, and we're not going to dwell much on the beginning of the perek, but he says, I'm still troubled, because how could it be that the end, which is tachlis, is going to be so brief? How could it be so brief? He brings, there are different opinions in the Gemara as how long Yemais HaMashiach will extend, but there are certainly opinions that it's a very brief amount of time. So everything is just for Yemais HaMashiach, to which he responds and says, you have to understand that Yemais HaMashiach are themselves a prelude. Yemais HaMashiach is the tikkun, is the completion in a sense of this world as it is, but then from there it graduates to Tchias HaMesim Va'ilam Haba, to the ultimate, to the eternal world. Well, you won't have a question, why is it so short? Eternity is a long time. Eternity is the lasting condition that we speak about. Like we said yesterday in Psukei Dezimra, L'imais HaMashiach ul'olam haba, right? Ein arach l'cha Hashem l'cheil mazeh, ve'ein daim l'cha olam haba, efez l'oscha l'imais HaMashiach, ve'efez l'cha l'tchias HaMesim. Right? These are separate stages that we speak about. And therefore, even this stage we speak about of Malchus HaMashiach, which is sort of within the framework of this world as we know it, bringing it to its completion, is to ultimately usher in the ultimate stage, the Madrega Elyona, which is Tchias HaMesim and Yemais HaMashiach. And Olam Haba, excuse me. So let's go from this to what he immediately begins to discuss, which is a very interesting akadata, which has in it these elements and a beautiful sort of story element, which is included in it as well. And this Agadita is in Perek Chelek, the last Perek of Masechet Sanhedrin, which of course is very, very much occupied with the matters of Olam Haba, and therefore of Moshiach and Tchias HaMesim. So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ashkach Lelio, Davukaima Apischa de Marosa de Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi encountered Eliyahu Hanavi standing by the opening of the cave of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So he found them there. As Maral says, you can imagine that the Mora, the cave of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, was a place where Eliyahu Hanavi had frequented when Rav Shimon bar Yochai was there learning with his son, and so he found him in a place which was mesugal, which was already somewhat primed for this. Omar Le, so what would you have? What question would you ask if you got one question of Eliyahu Hanavi? Right, what would you want to ask? Omar Le, so he said to him, Asino Alma Dasi, tell me, am I coming to the Olam Haba? Will I have a chelik in the Olam Haba? Omar Le, So Eliyahu HaNavi answered him and he said, Im yirtze Adon Hazeh. If Adon Hazeh wants, what do we say? What's the expression which we say? We say Im yirtze Hashem. So he said, Im yirtze Adon Hazeh. Right, which was referring to the Rabbeinu Shalom. But nevertheless, he refers to him as Adon Hazeh. I'm going to continue reading the story. We'll come back and we'll analyze piece by piece. So, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shnayim Raisi, V'kol Gimel Shamati. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "Ooh, Adon Hazeh, this Adon," he was referring to the Rabbeinu Shalom, "I only saw two. I saw two people there, me, and I saw Eliyahu HaNavi. But I heard the sounds of three." The Rabbeinu Shalom was evidently also there. I heard the sounds of, I couldn't see him. But Eliyahu HaNavi, right, if I knew that the Rabbeinu Shalom was there, would I have asked Eliyahu HaNavi? I would have asked the Rabbeinu Shalom. Right, if he had the ability to see him, to communicate with him in that way. But the Rabbeinu Shalom was indeed evidently there. Omar Lay, so then, if he's not answering him, he's saying, I can't answer you about whether you're coming to Elam Abba. So he said, well, what's your job, Eliyahu HaNavi? What's Eliyahu HaNavi supposed to be? He's supposed to be the Mevaser. He's supposed to be the one who brings the tidings of Mashiach, who leads the way to the coming of the Mashiach. Omar Lay, Emos Asi Mashiach. You can't tell me about whether I'm coming to Elam Haba, tell me about when Mashiach is coming. Omar Lei, so he said, Zil Shaile Lididei. Go and ask him. Go and ask the Mashiach to see when he's coming. Ve'echa Yosef. Fine, says Rabbi Yisrael Levi. Where can I find him? So he says, Apischa de Karta. This is the text the way we have it in our Gemara. Apischa de Karta literally translates as at the entrance of the city. However, the Gra puts in Nimchak Tevas de Karta v'nira be'enai de Rami. Right, it's by the opening of the city of Rome. You can understand why perhaps that reference would be taken out. Sensitive subject. Rashi says by Pischa de Karta, Pischa de Remi, Nir Lemairi, Loiba Pesacha Ir Mamish, El Ganadin who keneged Kalaylam, Kamalet Baisit Sachel Ganadin, She keneged Pesacha Ir Mashiach Shari. Mashiach is standing in the part of Ganadin which corresponds to the opening of the city. A little additional element there. Umay Simone, so how can I notice him? There could be a lot of people at the entrance of the city, especially you have to know Easy Pass was not yet invented yet. So he says, Yosef Vene Aniye Saiv Lechaloim, the Kulon Shoru Vasiri Bechadzimna, Yu Shori Chad Vasir Chad. He's sitting amongst the poor who are suffering from all kinds of illness and weakness. And how will you be able to identify him from amongst the other poor people suffering from illness and weakness? Kulan sharu vasiri b'chad zimna. All of them, when it comes time for them to bandage their wounds, they take off all of their bandages, they clean themselves up, and then they rebandage themselves completely. Iu shari chad v'asir chad. However, he doesn't do that. What he does is he takes off one bandage, he cleans up, and he bandages it up. And then he takes off another one, and then he takes off another one. Why? Omar, dilma mevi'ina, diloy yakif. He says, the issue is, I never know. I always have to be on call. If you take off all of the bandages, then it's going to take you a while to put yourself back together again. So since he had to be, the Mashiach has to constantly be on call. He doesn't want to say, oh, you're ready for me. But one sec, give me a couple of minutes. Right? The Mashiach doesn't want to say that. So therefore, he does things with a minimal time left. He wants to be as ready to go as he can be. Ozel Agabe. So now he knew where he would find him. He would find him at the entrance to Rome, sitting amongst the ill and the poor, and he would be doing this unique method of bandaging. So he went and he found him. Omar Lei, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umairi. He said, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Umairi. It's a good thing to say to Mashiach. Omar Lei, so he said to him, Shalom Alecha Bar Levi, Shalom Alecha to you, son of Levi. This was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Omar Lei Leimas Asimar, he says, when are you planning to come? Omar Lei Hayoim. Today. Also Lagabe Elio. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi got his message, went back to Eliyahu HaNavi. Omar Lei Mai Omar Lach. So tell me what happened. Amar Lei, what did he tell you? He said Shalom Alecha Bar Levoi, peace unto you, Ben Levi. Amar Lei, Afticha Loch Ulavuch La'alma Da'asi. He says, now you got the answer to your original question. You wanted to know whether you were coming to the Olam Haba. So I said, if the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants. When you went to the Mashiach, and the Mashiach told you, Shalom Alecha Bar Levoi, peace unto you, he's telling you that you and your father, he said Ben Levi, you and your father are coming to the Olam Haba. Amar Lei, but Shkurei Kashokar Bi. He says, very nice, but the problem is he lied to me. Why? The Amar Li Hayem Asina. He said, I'm coming today. V'loyasa. The day had already passed by the time Rabbi Shimon Levi was now talking to Eliyahu Hanavi. He says, he said today, and he didn't come today. Amar Lei Hachi Amar Lach. This is what he meant to tell you. Hayoim im b'keilei tishmo. As the Pasuk says, today, if you listen to his voice. In other words, he was ready to come today. If we would only be up to it, then he would have been here today. You have to finish the phrase. That's the story that the Gemara says. That's the end of the story. So it's a very rich story that the Maral explains, and we will try to follow through his explanation progressively. So we go back to the beginning. Rav Yeshua ben Levi encounters Elio at the cave of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and again, this is as the Maral explains, this would be a place where Elio Hanavi would be generally coming. We understand, and as Maral discusses here at some modest length, there are many times that people in their learning, they will go through learning in a normal logical way, but they also have some, so to speak, thank you very much, some inspiration which comes into it. It's a famous story which the Gemara tells about two chachamim, one of whom was mechadesh a number of halachas in the morning in one place, and another one was mechadesh the same halachas in a different time of the day in another place. And they realized that it couldn't have been that their information traveled from one to the other in a normal way. So they said, oh, it must be that it was from Eliyahu. There's such a thing as a siyata d'shmaya, as a divine inspiration which comes to a person in their learning. They can't always identify, oh, there's Eliyahu Hanavi, long white beard, the works, you know, and he's telling it to me. But it's there. It comes to the person. Something what the Gemara calls, in one halachic discussion, the idea of Sayyid Hashem li Yireyav. The secrets of Hashem he can share with those who fear him. And Rav Shimon bar Yochai is studying in the cave, and there, of course, being Megala Razei Torah, revealing at the time all kinds of mystical secrets of the Torah, that was very much part and parcel of this kind of a Gilui Eliyahu. And we find it, I mean, it's spooky stuff. But, you know, the Beis Yosef wrote a sefer, Magid Meshorim, based on what he heard from Eliyahu Hanavi. The Ramchal wrote about his Gilui Eliyahu. There are many who did this. So he says sometimes you can identify it, sometimes you can't identify it. But Eliyahu Hanavi is sort of a conduit. That is, you know, the same way that he's the one who comes to this world to usher in the coming of the Mashiach, the same way Eliyahu Hanavi is the one who travels whole from this world to the next world. So to some degree he's also the messenger, the purveyor of these secrets from above, and he's able to bring them. Sometimes noticeably, sometimes not as noticeably. So he asked Eliyahu Hanavi, tell me about my portion in the Olam Haba. Will I be able to have it? Will I have a portion in the Olam Haba? And Eliyahu Hanavi answers him evasively. He says, Im yirtze ha'adayn hazeh. If this master will wish it. Maral explains that when he says, Im yirtze ha'adayn hazeh, it's the idea that he's saying, when the Gemara says, all the prophets, all their visions, their magnificent visions, they were all about Mashiach's time, the Gemara says. But the world to come, nobody saw other than you, nobody was able to behold it, to appreciate it other than you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that will be done to the one who is mechakeloi, to the one who is yearning for it. In other words, Mashiach is something which the Nevi'im could describe, because Mashiach is a vast enrichment of the Olam Hazeh, of this world. Olam Haba is a whole different paradigm. It's a whole different shape and form. And so by the Ribbono Shel Olam you can find it. From the Ribbono Shel Olam you can hear about it. Im Yirtzeh Ha'Adon Hazeh doesn't just mean Im Yirtzeh Hashem. You know, say, oh, Hashem, Yirtzeh Hashem. Right? But the idea is that what he's saying is that's Hashem's realm. Olam Haba is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has seen. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has apprehended. So turning to me and asking me about it is not, in a sense, the correct direction. I'm not telling you yes. I'm not telling you no. Now, when we fast forward to the end of the story, he came to the Mashiach, and he said to the Mashiach, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Yumairi. And Mashiach said back to him, Shalom Alecha, Bar Livoi. So Eliyahu HaNavi interpreted for him, and he said, oh, Mashiach told you that you and your father have a portion of the Olam Haba. So what's the idea? I thought, it's only the Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh, if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it. But Mashiach is there as the segue to the Olam Haba. Mashiach, remember, how do we start this morning? And the Maharal is a little cryptic in this parak. I learned this parak over a couple of times, and I said, I don't understand. Why is it that the first part of the parak isn't actually the last part of the last parak? Right? I mean, really, what I talked to you about in the beginning of this morning was, he says, oy, but if it's the end, if Mashiach, so why is Mashiach so short? Why is it coming out of time? I mean, if the tachlis is a little, why is it coming out of time? I mean, that's like the conclusion of the previous piece. And this is a nice little drasha on this agadah of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But no, this is really the connection. What he said in that first piece was, okay, we defined last time that it's the end. How could the end be so short? It's the end of phase one. Phase one is to bring this world to completion. But then from Mashiach, what is that? That's just the stepping stone to Tchias HaMeisim V'Olam Haba. From Mashiach we come to Tchias HaMeisim V'Olam Haba. And therefore, when you go to Mashiach, Mashiach can tell you about what's going to be the Olam Haba. Of course, that's the Ribbono Shel Olam's realm. Of course, Ayin Leira Asa Elokim Zulasecha Liyasa L'Machak Eloi is all true. But the whole role of Mashiach is this transitional role to bring us from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. So Mashiach knows of what he speaks. Mashiach, when he says Shalom Alecha, he's telling you in that sense, okay, you're coming forward, you're going to be coming through to the Olam Haba. Eliyahu HaNavi is the segue between this world and Mashiach. You understand, he's a step removed from that process. Eliyahu HaNavi is still in the realm of the Nevi'im who are anticipating Yemais HaMashiach. But the Mashiach himself, he's a step ahead. And he's that much closer to the Olam Haba. He's going to be able to reassure you. So that's why he puts this, I think, at the beginning of this parak, because that's ultimately what this agadata, in a sense, demonstrates. Okay, so we go from there, and he says, okay, so I can't. But he says, Imir Tzeha Adain Hazeh. Now this also we alluded to, not Imir Tzeh Hashem, not Imir Tzeh Hakadosh Baruch Hu, right? But Ha'adain Hazeh, this Adain. So Eliyahu HaNavi is showing him that to some degree, Eliyahu HaNavi is there by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is present with him. You don't see it. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, I realized that he was there. You know, when we speak about koel, about hearing versus seeing, you know, that famous ha'ora, that famous note which was made by many svarim, that in the Talmud Bavli, it says, Toshima. Whenever you're discussing a sugya, an issue, and they want to bring proofs, they say, oh, let me bring you a proof. Come in here, Toshima. In the Zayar and in the Talmud Yerushalmi, when they're having a discussion, what do they say? Tochazi, come and see. Same kind of a thing, come and see. So the Velt says, because what we hear in Golus, what's called in Bavel, the Gemara calls it Ara Hashaycha, a dark land, a land where things aren't visible. The presence of Hashem is invisible. In Eretz Yisrael, it's visible. The Ramban says, in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, it says, Avram Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael, he came to Shechem, and he built a Mizbeach l'Hashem, Hanireh Elov, to Hashem who appeared to him. So says the Ramban, what does that mean? Because this was the first time Hashem was visible to Avram. Till now, when he was in Chutz La'aretz, Hashem spoke to him, he said to him, Lech Lecha. He heard him. He heard the koil, but he didn't see. He didn't have a vision. Now he had a vision. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Elio Anavi says, Ha'odain Hazeh, he sees him. I'm a person, Sheikhein Batei Chaymer. I dwell in the material world. I'm not traveling back and forth between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. I can't see the Rabbi Nishoel. I know that he's there, so to speak. I hear his voice, but I don't see him. Elio Anavi is emphasizing where he is standing. Ha'odain Hazeh. Okay. So, on to the next question. You tell me you can't answer me about Olam Haba. Tell me about when Mashiach is coming. So he says, go and ask Mashiach. Now, what does that mean? You're trying to deflect the question? I mean, Eliyahu Navi, come on, you're going to be here the day before. Why can't you tell me? Go and ask Mashiach. So he says the Maharal, and we touched upon this at an earlier time, when a person is going to contemplate Mashiach, when a person is going to think about Mashiach, when a person is going to be mechakeloi, ki li shuascha kivinu kalayeh, when a person is going to yearn for Mashiach, think about Mashiach, explore Mashiach, that's the greatest stimulant to the coming of Mashiach. And I'm not talking here about simply a person's going to start, looking up on his computer codes and trying to make fancy calculations about, let's figure out the date that Mashiach is coming. Not talking about superficial contemplation of Mashiach. We're talking about substantial and meaningful contemplation of Mashiach. Because what contemplation of Mashiach is looking at this world and seeing its imperfections. Its imperfections because we're living in a world without a revelation of Hashem's presence. And the more a person is looking for the revelation of Hashem's presence in this world, the more the person feels that it's chaser, that it's lacking, that where is he? Where is he to be found here? The more that indeed reveals the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It said, Rashi says, that until Avraham Avinu came along, Hashem was the God of the heavens. When Avraham Avinu came along, he became again the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. Elokei Hashemayim, Elokei Haaretz. Why? Because he made people start looking to Hashem. When people started looking to Hashem, when people became familiar that there's such a thing as Hashem, and they started invoking him and davening to him and so on and so forth, he brought Hashem into this world. He says, you want to know when Mashiach is coming, you got to seek it out. And this, and I am sorry I have only a few more minutes, but this really is the essence of the then cryptic description which he has. Where can I find Mashiach? And I want to go ask him, where will I find him? He says, you're going to find him at the entrance to Rome. You'll find him at the entrance to Rome. And he's going to be sitting amongst the sick and the poor and the diseased. So what does that mean? If you remember, we spoke just a couple of prakim ago, well, about the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the palace of Pare. And that what he taught, what the Maharal teaches, and he teaches this in numerous places, and the pasuk, the most memorable pasuk to pin this on, is the pasuk of Yadoi Echezes Ba'akev Esav. When Yaakov came out, he was holding on to the heel of Esav. So Chazal darshan that it is at the end of Esav, at the heel of Esav, when Esav falls, that's where Yaakov is going to be built. That's where Yaakov, so to speak, finds his hand, finds his strength. We said it a couple of weeks ago where there was a similar Agadaic discussion about where he'd find Mashiach, and it said he's living amongst the Arabs. Right, Be'aravya, you'll find him. And here he was, Moshe was in the house of Paro, and there he was amongst the Arabs. And here Mashiach is described as being amongst the Romans, at the edge of the city of the Romans. Because when they fall, it's in their falling, in the falling of that might, which is a pure material might, a pure physical might, a Malchus of Egypt and of Rome that represents physicality that falls in this world, that's where indeed Mashiach arises. The opening of the city is not that he's going in. It's, so to speak, the exit ramp. However you want to see it, you could see it that he's going in, to take over. But it's, the way out. Those, in a sense, that were thrown out of Rome. And where is he? He's with the poor and he's with the diseased. The poor and the diseased are those who this world isn't working for them. The poor are not benefiting from the material benefits of this world. The diseased is even stronger, as the Maharal says, misnagdim lehem ha'ilam hazeh. This world is in conflict with them. They're suffering sickness and weakness. This world is in conflict with them. Mashiach is otherworldly. It's otherworldly. Mashiach is of a different quality. So, yes, when Rome thrives, there's no Mashiach. In fact, even forget Rome for a second. But in a certain sense, in a world enmeshed in material prosperity or material health, in a sense, that's not where it's at. Now, not to be said that, oh, okay, so when Mashiach comes, we're going to be suffering from depravity and deprivation and illness. No, farkert. As we've studied earlier, especially when we talked about the Yaakov dynamic, we graduate to a point where there's shleimus b'zeh u'beba, where there's completeness in this world and in the next. That's Mashiach, to be mesakeh in this world, that there will be material prosperity and good health. And at Har Sinai, remember, everybody felt better. Sinai Hospital. Everybody was healed. Everybody was healed of all of their weaknesses and all of their illnesses. Ultimately, that's true. But in the interim, in the world as it is, it's not. And that, of course, was Yaakov. Yaakov was the one of Ma'at V'Royim Hayu Yimei Shnei Chayai. Yaakovinu comments that the way he had it in his conflict with Esav, he says, my life in this world is short and miserable. That's what he described it as. And Yaakov didn't have shalva. He didn't have, this world didn't jive, didn't work that well with him at all. And that's what we're saying. Yearn for Mashiach. Look for Mashiach. Where are you going to find Mashiach? You're not going to find him in the world of glitter. You're not going to find him in the world of gold. You're not going to find him in the world of the best physical health and fitness. You're going to find him in a world of other values. And if you seek that, and you seek him there, you seek the shleimus of the world which isn't on display, then he will come. And that's the Hayyim. That's the Hayyim in B'Kalis Yishmol. There's more to say, there's more to do here. Unfortunately, I do have to run, and I'm sorry.
This question about Ray, mentioned about seeing versus hearing.
Yeah.
So it says, Akri Levav, Akri Levav, Akri Hinikim. Emotions are connected to the sight.
Mm-hmm.
The hearing is connected to the intellect. Why would